Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 22. The moon was absent, a circle of darkness denoting the possibility of presence, the inevitability of return. Naomi Alderman, Disobedience. Layla moved through the kitchen, past the cold hearth and down the stairs, treading softly. The lighthouse spoke no secrets. The hidden room, like the rest of them, was silent. She stepped through to the cavern, sealed the doorway to the lighthouse closed behind her, and peered around the corner. Be brave. Jacob stood with his back to her, unmoving. At his waist, partially hidden by Jacob's body, her father seemed to sleep. Jacob, she called out, her voice a steady whisper. He remained rigid. The tone was flat, dead. Layla, thank God you're here. I think something's wrong with your dad. He was struggling to breathe. Can you get him out of this containment? Quick steps took her forward. She faltered. You know I can't. We need Lorna. Jacob, is he? Will you turn around? He didn't move. Open it, Lay. She stepped closer. Jacob, what's wrong with you? I can't... Ah, yes, that's right. The words were like a knife tearing through metal. You have no power here. What? Jacob turned, blooded tears crusted on his face. You're helpless, he said. She said. And I am here, and you're here, and I warned you. Now, let's play. Run. But she didn't. She rooted her feet to the spot and waited, braced. She had no magic, but she wouldn't run this time. The body of her friend lunged toward her, grappling for her face. She brought her foot between his legs. He grunted and fell forward. She struck against him, not the wild blows of their childhood fights, but deliberate, demobilizing strikes. She made a knuckle-ridged fist of her hand and swung it against his jaw. She battered, she kicked, belted and beat him until he was gasping for air and he was on his knees. A sick, jerking puppet, he reared up, blood bubbling from his mouth as the witch laughed through his lips. Then she ran. Down the passageway she fled and dived through the open doorway to the village, into her father's cottage. Her last glimpse into the cavern was the twisted grin of Jacob's stolen, leering face. Blisters formed as she tried to scrub the passage shut. She scratched it from the air and pushed herself to her feet. Her insides were shaking. She turned, thinking to run to the graveyard to wait for her mother, but bumped into the solid body of Penny Jane. Her face wasn't hers either. Oh, sweetheart, don't be like that. Come back here. Penny Jane's clumsy, rigid arms grabbed at Layla. She managed to duck and run out of the door. The village was steeped in dense fog, mist. It seemed to falter several feet from where she stood. There, as if braced by an invisible barrier, it recoiled and eddied. Layla could hear voices in the murky white. The vicar and his wife started to stroll haltingly up her drive. Jacob's mother was climbing over the wall, all their faces nothing but different masks on the witch. She ran. The field was less than a mile away, yet beneath Layla's running feet the land seemed to drag and cling. Blind in the clouded land, she took wrong turns, stumbled in ditches, slid and slipped in the mud, brambles ripped and tore at her flesh. Her knees began to give way. The ground came up hard. When she woke, darkness had resumed its control. Inky black spotlights rose in the grey behind dim silhouettes of trees and lingered in shadows. And in the foreground, paper-skinned fingers snapped inches from her nose. You have to get up! The fingers seized Layla's collar and pulled her upright. Her head pulsed as she tried to push the hands away to say that she just needed to sleep a little longer, but they didn't yield. She followed the arm up to the face of Matty. Layla there, everywhere, she's everywhere! Layla snapped awake then and became aware of the sharp edges of flint that dug into her hip. She pushed herself upright and looked at Mattie, whose face was more drawn and paler than usual. She was clutching at something under her cardigan, and when she saw Layla looking down, she gave a wan smile and lifted the fabric. "I came to find you. I didn't realise how it would look. I thought I'd be able to tell who she'd taken, but instead..." The laugh she gave was broken by wet coughing. "It could be anyone." A blade had darted in and created a wide stretched mouth that oozed. In the darkness, the blood looked black. "Mattie, I'll be fine." More coughing. "Make sure you stop her." A rustling approaching through the darkness stopped Layla short. "Go, I'll deal with this." Mattie slipped a wrench, rusted and bloody, from the ground and coughed out another wet laugh. "This is the best I could do under the circumstances. I wasn't prepared for this." I guess no one was. Layla thought about making a portal through to somewhere safe for Mattie, but the rustling neared, and soon the source of the shuffling, awkward gait would be upon them. And then she heard bells. "Fuck, Mattie, I have to go. I'll be back. This should hold them off." She summoned a crackle and then a spark to the air between her fingertips and spread it in a wall between Mattie and the oncoming noise. The fire blistered but held the greater evil at bay. There was no time to weave a containment. There was no time for anything. She found the place in her head, made it real, spread it out in front of her. The doorway opened. Through it, in the darkness, sight gave no information, but she could hear breathing. Cautiously, she climbed through the hole in the world. "Layla! Mum!" The second bells began to chime. "I've got seconds. You have to stop her." Her eyes were wild and desperate, and she reached out to Layla, held her as she faded. "I love you, sweetheart. Don't be afraid to lose me." Layla wanted to stay wrapped in her mother's arms, but she was gone, and there were others who needed her. By the time Layla came back to rescue Mattie, she'd propped herself against the trunk of a tree, the firelight lending an exuberance to her face that almost covered the pallor of blood loss. "She wants us to lose hope, but we mustn't." "Mattie, don't talk, please. I need to get you somewhere safe." "You need to take this bitch down," Mattie forced through gritted teeth, and Layla saw the extent of her injuries, knew the wounds wouldn't heal. "You didn't succumb to her, even after you'd lost everything." Layla grasped her hand. "You're a hero." Mattie laughed, a sputtering, wretched sound, and shifted her weight, leaning on the wrench to push herself up. "We each play our part. We are only ourselves and can be no more or less." Her fingers found her handkerchief and brought it to her brow, which she mopped carefully, pointedly. "I'd like to die with some dignity," she said. And then her eyes popped wide over the cotton, and Layla reached to catch her, thinking she was falling. But Mattie wasn't falling. Before Layla could understand what was happening, Mattie had gripped Layla's shoulder and hauled herself upright. She stood, unsteady, levering her weight against Layla for support, and swung. The wrench thwacked through the air and hit something, hard. Layla remained frozen as the sounds of impact morphed from loud cracks to quieter, sloppy thuds as metal broke through skin to skull to grey matter. And then a dull crumple of staggered weight landed behind Layla. Mattie let the wrench clang to the ground beside the body and laughed again, looking at Layla with a victorious black glint in her eye. But her laughter was wet, cold somehow. "Hero!" she called, a wry smile on her lips. And then she stopped breathing. Her hands still clung to Layla, her eyes half closed, her head lolled slightly to one side as though she were contemplating the firelight. "Mattie?" But Layla knew she was dead. She lowered the body until it sat, resting against the tree. By the flickers of flames, Layla laid the wrench in Mattie's lap and straightened her cardigan. At last, she mopped the sweat from Mattie's brow and pocketed her handkerchief. "All the dignity, Mattie. You deserve it all." No tears came. Instead, something iron appeared, something that made Layla resolve that this was the last friend she'd lose to the witch. She tried to avoid looking at Matty's final triumph, now a mess of wrench-dented blood and bone, and opened a portal to confront Jacob. Layla gave a hurried glance around the lighthouse kitchen before entering, but all was quiet. Arms drew her into an embrace and then Lorna pulled back, scrutinising Layla from top to toe. "Are you all right?" It took Layla a few seconds to adjust. She wasn't in danger. Despite everything, she nodded grimly. "Matty's dead," she said, and waved away Lorna's attempt to console. "Jacob, I didn't close the doorway. I let the mist in. Where is he?" Lorna stepped back and stripped the conversation to the essentials. "I figured out a way to reverse the effects of the witch's spores. Jacob's fine. He's upstairs resting. Your dad too. And," she continued, lowering her voice, "your dad's memory is back." Layla felt the shock churn through her body. "I thought he wouldn't cope." "We didn't have a choice. The witch's magic had consumed too much of his mind, and the rest was addled from seeing your mother during the severing. The effects of the original forget-me became intensified. That's why the witch was able to infect him so easily." She shrugged. "He was defenceless." Her father's gruff voice interjected. "Your mother didn't want me to remember what happened. She felt that, were I to forget the reasons behind her death, as well as a great part of her life and yours, I'd be protected from the full extent of my grief and guilt and be able to raise you without that burden hanging over either of us. And you wouldn't have to grow up a guardian. She wanted a fresh start for both of us. She wanted us happy." He reached out a hand to Layla. "But that came at a cost. It left your lineage hidden and your magic unguided. I forgot who your mother truly was. Who you are." He found her eyes. "I'm so sorry. We wanted what was best for you." He tried to quash the shame in his chest as it rose. "Please forgive us." Layla took a breath and used it to quell her flickers of anger. "I understand why she did it. It can't have been easy for either of you." She broke away and eyed both of them with intense determination. "But look, I have a plan," she said quietly, "and you both need to listen." She began, and at first they did listen. Then came protestations from Elliot. "And how does that get rid of the witch? Surely that accomplishes nothing but hurting your mother." His protectiveness twitched like a tail. Lorna soothed, explained, "The witch will be trapped, and Vi can only appear in the ruins between the bells. How does..." "Sometimes," divides smudge, "become indistinct and dead things lurk and mingle with the living. If the witch is trapped there, we have an advantage." Layla took a deep breath and addressed Lorna. "We don't know who the witch has taken over. It could be anyone. It's likely that with all the chaos and fear she's causing, more people could become vulnerable to her as time passes, so we can't assume that anyone that's fine now will stay that way. We need a way to lure them to one spot so that you can cure them. The only thing the witch wants is you. Can we make it look like I'm somewhere I'm not? Throw her off for long enough for me to get where I need to be?" Lorna considered this. "You should be able to leave a trace of your magic where she can sense it. It'd take big magic, though, Layla. It'd leave you vulnerable afterward." "Fine, I'll do that. And then while you're curing her victims, I'll get her to follow me." Elliot's eyes rounded into sources of alarm. "How?" Layla checked the shadows above and continued in hushed urgency. "The spores from the possessed villagers will look for a new host once they're released. Without one, they'll die. If Lorna saves some after curing the villagers with the draft, we can reinfect Jacob." She allowed a moment to pass for this to sink in. "I'll head for the graveyard. By then, as all that's left of the witch will be contained in Jacob, he'll follow me. But we need to time it so that we arrive just before the bells. When Mum appears, I'll use the potion on Jacob, freeing him, and at the same time, Mum's going to let down her protections and allow the witch to infect her. There's nowhere else for the witch to go, so even if she does see through our plan, by that point, she'll have no choice. To make sure, I'll cast a containment charm around her." The room was silent, taking in the information and its every drop of its madness. From the centre of the floor, Layla looked up with serene eyes and a resolute chin. "Before the second bells ring, you open the doorway under them. They shall fall through into your territory. That should remove any magic taken from my mother or me."
"It should kill the witch.
And your mother." Elliot left the room. Lorna hesitated and lowered her voice to a hush.
"You've only done the containment charm in practice, and your doorways are still unreliable."
"I'll be fine." Layla was unshakable. "We haven't got a choice." Lorna looked back at Layla.
"It's a fine plan," she said slowly, gravely. "I'll talk to your dad. You get ready."
"Lorna." The aunt stopped and peered into Layla's face, seeing the flickers of the trembling child underneath. "I want her to be free." Lorna inclined her head and smiled, then walked off to find Elliot. Few words can help the pain of a heart. Elliot's was heavy with the burden that soon, again, his wife would be gone. Lorna found him, gazing out at the sea from the lantern room. He stared into the grey distance and its all-consuming depths. Lorna opened the doorway to the lonely field and its ruins and brushed his shoulder.
"Come and see her."
"How?" He looked at her with blank desolation, saw the open doorway, and took her hand.
"Don't you want..." Lorna shook her head. "I've said my goodbyes. It should be about time for you to be able to do the same."
The sound of bells and their distant chime drifted faintly into the lighthouse. Elliot stepped through. He stared in wonder at his wife.
"I got to meet our daughter after all," she smiled.
He studied her face, tried to burn it into his eyes.
"She reminds me of you," he said.
"Able to keep you in line."
"Stubborn,"
he grinned. He wished he could absorb her into his own skin.
"I love you, Vi," he managed.
But it didn't sound enough. She stepped forward and threw herself against his body, buried her face in his neck.
"I love you both so much. Tell Layla."
She pulled away and looked into his face, her expression urgent.
"This isn't the end, Elliot.
I'm always around.
You'll see."
Elliot wrapped his arms tighter around her, tracing the shape of her shoulder blades with his thumbs. As the final bells rang out, he breathed her in, as though he could keep her scent of jasmine in his lungs forever. And then the press of her weight against him slipped away until he was left holding nothing but his own arms. Afterwards, Lorna was waiting for him back in the lighthouse.
"Are you ready?"
Elliot nodded and gave a smile. He felt a spark of something rekindled in his eye and a looseness in his muscles he hadn't enjoyed for a long time.
"Good," she said. "We need to prepare."
Lorna sealed the doorway shut and swept down the stairs as she briefed him. "Whilst I'm getting everyone out, we need you to go to the tree. Remember where it is?"
"I do now. Everything's ward off."
"Good. Destroy it. Totally."
"Chop it down."
"Blow it up, more like. Remember those fireworks you used to make?" She snorted.
"More like bombs. Arrange a few of those and that should do the trick. Burn anything that's left. We need every twig in cinders."
Elliot grinned.
"I'm sure I can manage that, as long as she doesn't come for me."
"She won't. The draft I gave you not only eradicates the possession, but should also make it harder for her to possess you again. Besides, we're hoping her attention will be on Layla. When you're done, soak the area in this." She handed him a dilution of the pale concoction. "That'll ensure her energy can't thrive on the land afterwards. The last thing we need is for her to come back unexpectedly again." End of chapter 22. Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available on Kindle via Amazon or as a downloadable PDF via my website. The links for both of these are in the description of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at @twisted_roots_agparker or @a_g_parker on Instagram. Please head to my website for other details and to keep updated with my poetry, performances, fiction, articles, and more. I hope you enjoyed listening to this latest chapter of Twisted Roots and that you tune in next time.